Another podcast from Magaris Ventures. Here is Spiros Magaris with Andreas Spahn from IBM. And I have the pleasure to have this podcast because my audience probably also would like to know a little bit, not only about fintech and insurtech, but also about what's happening in tech and what's happening behind the scene. Andreas, please introduce yourself.
Hi, Spiros. It's a pleasure to be here and to partake in these interesting times. You know, so I'm the guy who practically is building the business for IBM together with SAP in Europe, Middle East, and Africa concerning one of the most hottest topics of these days in technology, HANA on power and the transition to HANA S4.
You know, for the people who don't know, I mean, everyone knows IBM, everyone knows SAP. Can you tell a little bit the history of SAP HANA and the roadmap, you know, and how this all, you know, comes together with the partnership with IBM?
Well, to start with, you know, the partnership between IBM and SAP goes back more than 40 years. You know, even the grounding fathers of SAP themselves were former IBMers, so there is a deep and interesting relationship in place between us for decades. This particular topic is actually on our common radar screen since 2010, when SAP had this very enlightened new idea to allow in-time business insights based on one single database, you know, the mother of all databases, you know, the source of all truths. Initially, this was conceived by Hassel Plattner and Vishal Sikka, the then technical leader in SAP for this topic, as based on a commercial system, say x86. And then they realized a couple of years later under customer pressure that they would need an enterprise savvy environment as well to build upon. So we have been starting to co-develop the platform on power, which went live in November 2015. So that's the immediate history of this common topic.
And, you know, basically, and what's IBM's role in it? I mean, it's so obvious for you guys, but, you know, for people who listen quickly, and what's your role? I mean, what makes you such a good partner in this?
Well, you know, this is a question which could keep me going for a couple of hours. But basically, what is needed out there is a reliable 24/7 platform for customers to build their business upon and to be able to manage the digital transition that we all see, which has been tremendously accelerated during these last couple of months through the COVID impact worldwide. And what we do is, you know, we offer for all of these customers an infrastructure, but also help, you know, for a business transition into the new digital era around the idea of HANA as a database, but also as a business platform, which is going to touch, you know, everybody who has ever touched SAP as a governance tool provider.
What once we talked once before, I mean, what's the near goals and steps IBM and SAP are planning, you know, and why?
Well, you know, one is transitioning from the other. The SAP's major goal in this environment was stated back in 2015. They built a business plan where they wanted everybody who is using SAP in a way or another to transition to this new platform by 2025. Hassel Plattner himself was very confident that this would happen, you know, rather sooner than later, in a couple of years, 2-3 years. But today, you know, we are at the end of 2020 almost, and only about 20% of the customers have made this transition, because it is a difficult migration and because it is a very complex business decision to be taken. So the time has been prolonged from SAP's point of view to 2027, even to 2030, against a small fee. Both astonishingly, the only time I've seen something like this in the software industry in my 30 plus years is the fact that they have assured their customers that the platform will be around till 2040 at least. So all of this is pointing towards a long-term future engagement. And we jointly are working together to transition all of these customers onto the S4 platform as such, you know, not only the database, but S4 platform as such, and if possible, on the most resilient and most reliable infrastructure, which is to be had in the market today, which is power.
I mean, as you think that, as we all know, I mean, likely all the listeners we have, I mean, there's advancements in Internet of Things, AI, and there's a lot of big data, and it's very challenging. And it's probably very challenging for a lot of companies to deal with all this information, you know, too much data. And how does your services come into play, you know, to this increasingly demanding technology environment?
Well, you know, there are several aspects of this challenge, you know. So on one side, it is the data explosion in itself, you know, which is growing in an exponential fashion, and which will continue to grow. You know, the more the Internet of Things, the more the new digitalization is getting greater,
etc. The personalization, yeah. and.
Right. You know, so above and beyond, you know, there are new business topics which are getting hold on us. And I'm just, you know, saying a couple of buzzwords here today, like artificial intelligence, which together with Internet of Things, obviously will boost the data progression even further, blockchain, containerization. And so the whole approach is getting more and more complex, and many customers will struggle handling this on their own. So they need two things. One, on one side, they need a trusted advisor, in this case SAP, to help them with this transition, and they need an infrastructure which is absolutely reliable to build upon. And this is where IBM comes into the play. You know, so together we are trying, you know, to solve complexity issues and also to enable a transition for our customers into the challenges of the coming digital world.
You know, when you deal with your customers, who do you deal most? I mean, SIC, you know, we read a lot about it, etc. I mean, CFOs, etc., play an important role, you know, in the decision factor. Why? I mean, it seems to me that obviously you have to invest in technology, you have to invest in infrastructure. What are the compelling reasons from the customers you have that they went that path, you know, the CFOs, you know, because basically it's an expense which takes away from profits, but it's something which is very beneficial for the company in the long run. But what's your experience when you talk to those people that maybe are not as close as you are to technology, but obviously they understand the technology part as part of the business?
Well, obviously, at the beginning of this development, IT department was major interested and involved here in these topics, but this is shifting as we speak. So you touched upon a very interesting challenge in here, because meanwhile, you know, the portfolio of our interlockers has grown to encompass the entire C-level suit, and I'll tell you why. You know, so you have a guy who is practically in charge of the operations of a certain corporation, and he needs detailed reports to make immediate decision to adjust to the market needs, etc., etc. So that would be the chief operating officer, who needs a most reliable platform, and he cannot afford even a second of downtime which is not planned. So there you have one guy, you know, who all of a sudden is interested to discuss this topic,
to have this great toy.
Exactly,
it's a needed technology.
It is needed because it gives you the competitive edge. You know, to have immediate business insights makes a difference. The guy who has a couple of hours later, you know, will be second or third, and nobody talks about second or third, as you very well know. Next one is, was an excellent example during these COVID times. You know, cash restraint was hitting everybody. You know, costs is written on everybody's foreheads. You know, so all the CFOs of a corporation still know that they will have to do this business transition if they want to cope, you know, with the competitive environment and if they want to make their companies future savvy. But at the same time, you know, they have to save budget. And this is where we come in, because we have many proven examples that we can deliver a TCO, a total cost of ownership, which beats everything in the market here, be it a cloud offer or be it an infrastructure offer by one of our competitors on long range. So that's the second group of people. Then you have new jobs, you know, like the chief digital officer, who is very interested in helping their enterprise to embark on this journey. And he also needs to provide immediate insights, right? So that's another group who all of a sudden want to talk to us. Then you even have the chief executive officer, always depending on the growth of and the size of a company. But ultimately, you know, they are the ones who are responsible in front of their stakeholders for the future of the company. And again, they need immediate insights to take business decisions.
I mean, what you're telling me, it sounds extremely obvious, you know, because you're telling me it so beautifully. You know, it's almost, not almost, there's no way around it. I mean, basically, you know, whoever provides the best access to real-time data, you know, analytical way wins, you know?
Which is true, you know. So we have been living for the last century practically with oil. You know, oil was the prime resource. These days, it's data. So the real thing to know about, to mine and to leverage is data. So who has the most superior access to data, you know, will govern. If you look at the guys who are these days dominating the IT environments, you know, AWS or Google, or it's all data. You know, these guys are selling data and nothing else. Alexa lives from data. Google lives from data. Yes. And simple.
You know, it's also important to make use of the data, because there's sometimes data silence and data is all over the place. But if it's consolidated to some degree, obviously, it's more accessible and we can put it more in context of what it means.
That's absolutely true. You know, I mean, the common knowledge statement of motherhood, 80% of all the data is unstructured, hence unusable. You know, so the next and third step which has to come in is A, to provide a common and an up-to-date data repository. That's the HANA approach. Mm-hmm. Then you'll have to analyze it. You know, there you'll hear buzzwords like SAS VIA, et cetera, who are running the analytics on this data. And then you have to put it to superior usage. You know, and that's where artificial intelligence comes in. So when you have these components all linked together, and here I have to really to break a lance for the company I'm servicing for 30 years, is we are the only ones in the market, you know, who have all of this available, you know, from the infrastructure point up to an open environment to deal with all of these components, and that makes a difference.
And the industries that your business touches, I guess everything from retail to finance to automotive, I mean, you name it. I guess wherever there's data, where there, you know, obviously. Is there some use cases, you know, in a nutshell, a small 2-3 use cases you could talk about, you know?
Yes.
You're allowed to talk about, you know?
Of course. You know, so we have hundreds of big customers who have all engaged on this HANA on Power Enterprise route. And interestingly enough, as you just said, it happens very much by vertical, by industry. You know, so the first ones to jump new road was the retail industry, based on the fierce competition which they are all seeing in the market. So one of the first ones is also a public reference of ours, is one of your home turf. It's Coop in Switzerland.
Yes, it's a market, a huge one.
Yeah, it's a huge one indeed. And as you know, the Swiss are very peculiar and exact when it comes to costs. You know, so these guys were driven by resource constraints, cost constraints, but also by immediate insights into their customer behavior. And once they shifted from x86, where they already started actually deploying, and it didn't work, you know, they came to astonishing results. Like, for example, they were now able to provision like 90% faster than they could before. They were just using, from a performance point of view, perhaps 10 to 15% of their infrastructure, thus allowing them to do application consolidation on the same platform, or, you know, generally mix workloads of different needs, like more memory intensive as HANA is, with more performance intensive, you know, like car in the retail industry. So that's one of the examples, and then many others followed in due step. All the big ones in Europe that you know, Metro, etc. And we made quickly the jump also into Russia, Lenta, the biggest retail chain in Russia, and others followed in due step. So that was the first pillar. Mm-hmm.
Anything in finance?
Finance is actually a hot topic now, you know, because this has more. the finance and insurance industry is by definition more cautious and more circumspect, but secondly and most importantly, SAP has been providing the needed infrastructure for this industry sector a little bit later than the other ones, based on the difficulty and on the sensitivity that is inherent for these groups. Security is a big issue, right? So we have, meanwhile, several large banks, several large insurance institutions globally who have jumped on this. Unfortunately, I cannot name them because, as you know...
Obviously, yeah, that goes without saying. But, you know, I mean, any industry which deals with customers or suppliers, etc., I mean... Retail is just a good, great example, but at the end, if it's milk you sell or a financial product or you have to customize your customers' solutions, propositions, it gets back to the same thing. You know, either you sell a sweater or you sell milk or you sell a financial product or an insurance product. I mean, it's all about a lot of data, and the more data we can process, I mean, the financial industry in insurance, insurtech, the more likely the customer will be served best, you know, even better than he would imagine he could be served.
That's true. And actually, it's not about, you know, only the amount of the data to be processed. It is about the analysis of this data and about the forecasts which are allowed and which are instantaneous in this environment. So just remember a couple of years back, even in a well-running and well-established and powerful corporation, you wanted some market insight, you would have to go, you know, and kick that off. You know, then an experienced troop would gather those, would prepare it, would pull it together, would draw their conclusions, would put it on your table. You know, at its best, a couple of days, if not weeks, would have passed by the time the data is obsolete already. You know, so...
Even customer want instant insights. Not even your big clients, but even their customers to some degree.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, so this gives you an absolute insight into your customers' behavior and in their needs, and it helps you, you know, for their own benefit and your own benefit to take the appropriate decisions in due time.
Is you know, we're about to close. Is there something I missed, you know, and you would like to share with us, you know, about your business, you know, because you're much more in it, you know, and, you know, safety is one thing we always hear, but, you know, we should address, because we talk about data, you know, and data has to stay safe, you know, and is how do you help your customers sort of, you know, to get this fast access and analysis, et cetera, but also to protect their precious good, you know?
Actually, also an interesting question. You know, IBM, by definition, our DNA is that of a research and development company. So usually we start when we want to show, you know, how great we are and what we perform on speeds and feeds, on facts, etc. Not in this environment, because the most important thing which we really put at the fingertips of our clients is flexibility. If there is anything which is dominating today's world, it is flexibility to adapt, to adopt, and to change. And this is our utmost goal when we provide this infrastructure platform. Of course, you know, then with second resiliency features like security, we are offering mainframe like stability over here, no down time, no glitches, no faults. So in all the
those nightmares CFO has and the CEO, if things go wrong.
Exactly, you know, so we can take one nightmare away from him. You know, the system won't let him down. You know, the world might be changing overnight, but the system won't let him down. You know, so you can wake up in next morning in a COVID lockdown, but you can still, you know, get instantaneous insight in your data and decide how to operate in this environment. So that's the big difference.
And you know, we're about almost finished. Is there something exciting you foresee happening, you know, with the customers you have and with your solution? Is there a major upgrade, so is it just implementing the most, you know, is there something exciting ahead of us? Besides, I mean, this is a huge task, it has to be done and to be with a solid partner, but is there something exciting you could share?
Yes, actually, you know, there are two or three things happening simultaneously. So in all of this sea of uncertainties, which we have just discussed here, every customer yearns for one certainty, and that is protection of his investment, predictability on where you know, this path is going to lead. And that is what we can offer, because they know that we are working on Power 10, which is will be released next year. We are already working on Power 11, you know, the next generation. So for at least a decade to come, we are guaranteeing stability in this sector. And at the same time, you know, we are offering the flexibility to grow with the environment. You know, we haven't touched one of the most hip buzzwords in the market at the moment, which is cloud. You know, so
let's not forget to go for that. Yeah, I mean, I had it in my mind, but.
So if we are asking customers today, for many good reasons, you know, half of them, at least about 50%, are still keen on driving their HANA engagements on premise for reasons of data integrity, security, retrievability, et cetera, et cetera. But no doubt the cloud, as the public cloud, is growing as an offer and is getting better by the day. We are talking on a timeline over here today. It still has issues and is still too expensive. But it's gaining quickly ground, you know. So predictions of all the analysts show that it will double probably in the next 2 or 3 years in terms of market acceptance. And what we also do is we offer also a gateway into the cloud and even a proper own cloud where we can service the customer. You know? So we will not.
Also hybrid model.
Pardon?
Also hybrid model.
Absolutely, you know. So that was what I wanted to say. So we are on the same wavelengths here. We are offering a pass from customers who are still deeply moored in their past on R3, you know, and on premise over hybrid engagement of any sort, because it's not only the cloud, but you know, to be more precise, it will be a multi-cloud environment that most of our customers will live in the next couple of years. That is where we open the gates towards, you know. So up to a full public cloud, up to any sort of hybrid in-between step, and we can cover it all. And this is also what we see, what the customers want there. You know, that gives the hyperscalers in the market such an upwind as we can see these days with Microsoft Azure or AWS or the Google Cloud.
So basically, you can accompany your clients on this journey. You know, I mean, I always believe also that you have to get involved as fast as possible with like cloud. I mean, not only on premise, but external, if you may, because you have to learn with what's the possibilities out there. So you grow with the industry, you know.
That's correct. But you know, I've been speaking in alone since I'm building this platform for the last 7 years with hundreds of customer face to face, and you know, each and every one of them has one issue. You know, they want the best possible out of the world of today, and they want obviously a pass, you know, towards the future so that they can evolve, and they want to be secure on that pass. And this dichotomy, so this. Different aspirations, you know, to bring them together, that's something really difficult. You know, so we have to offer them a virtual environment where they can, you know, run on their hereditary workloads as long as they need to. But at the same time, you know, we need to open the door so that they can already test, implement, and then bring to production the future. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. Is there anything I missed to ask you? And it's at your heart to tell me now, because, you know.
We have been touching.
There's so many things to talk about, but maybe there's something really important thing you would like to share.
I am very, very much convinced, you know, not as an IBMer, just as somebody who has been an advocate of IT, you know, since its inceptions here. And I see that we are changing faster than we can accommodate, you know. So digitalization and the transition is the hallmark of the future. And it's pretty simple, you know, the guys who will have the securest and the fastest path into this future will be the ones to prevail. And that's also true for all of the customers, you know, who will adopt this new challenge there. And it is our personal goal as a company, as a corporation, to enable this for all our customers at the utmost security and the utmost cost control, whilst, you know, having them at the absolute front of the digital innovation.
That's a beautiful closing. And I mean, it's exactly what I feel for any industry. You know, it's like adopt quickly and take whatever you can afford to build your business. Because if you don't, your competitor will and surpass you. And you, IBM and SAP are two of those big, great technology companies who support so many of those giants out there. Thank you very much, Andreas, from IBM for being here, and it was a privilege and a pleasure talking to you.
Spiros, my pleasure entirely, and anytime, you know, you want to go into some intricacies of the detail, you know, here, just let me know.
Perfect, I will. Thank you very much.
Thank you.